The nation of Israel has two primary bodies of water. One to the north is called the Sea of Galilee. Now, you've heard of the Sea of Galilee. This is where Jesus in the New Testament walked on the water. This is the place where Jesus calmed the storm. It was the focal point of activity in the days of Jesus throughout the New Testament. And even today, the Sea of Galilee is known for its rich stocks of fish and other marine life. And it's a major tourist attraction in the nation of Israel. It's a place of refreshment and relaxation. But 60 miles to the south of the Sea of Galilee is another body of water. And it is called the Dead Sea. It is the lowest point on earth at 1,371 feet below sea level. Its main tributary, like the Sea of Galilee, is the Jordan River, which pours millions of gallons of fresh water into the Dead Sea every day. But unlike the Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea can support no life whatsoever, earning it the name Dead Sea. Now, what's the difference between these two bodies of water? Both have abundant supply of resources. Both are in a similar region in the same country. So why is one a place of refreshment and life and one a place of death? Well, the difference is the waters that flow into the northern tip of the Sea of Galilee eventually make their way through the Sea of Galilee and then flow out the southern tip, and the Jordan River continues. But the waters that flow into the Dead Sea remain in the Dead Sea because the Dead Sea has no outlet. The Dead Sea is not dead because of a lack of supply. The Dead Sea is dead because all the resources that flow into that body of water remain right there. There's a Proverbs that pictures this. We read it last week and we'll read it again this week. Proverbs 11 says this: "There is one who scatters, yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered." The writer of Proverbs says that there's two lifestyles. One is like the Sea of Galilee. And we receive and we're blessed and God fills our life with good things. And in return, we hold everything we have like this. And everything that flows in, we see it as a gift of God and we're quick to give it back to those in need. The writer of Proverbs says there's a different type of life. It says there's a life like the Dead Sea. And everything we receive, every blessing we have, you know what we do with it? We hold it right here. The writer of Proverbs says one of these lifestyles results in prosperity and fullness of life. But the other results only in want. Now, a couple weeks ago, we began a series together here at Hope about generosity. And we entitled it Living Life Wide Open. A few weeks ago, we defined this word generosity as it's used in the Bible this way. We said the word generosity can have the idea of overflow, of spilling out into the lives of other people. We said this word can have the idea of ready to distribute, that you are ready at a moment's notice to be a blessing into the lives of other people. But the main idea we got from this word from the New Testament was this one, the one we've kind of held on to, that the word generosity literally means, anybody remember? On your fingertips. That everything you have, everything you've been given by God, you realize it's from Him, He's entrusted it to you, and what you do with it is you hold it right there on your fingertips. Ready to overflow, ready to distribute. And that's the biblical picture of this idea of generosity, living life wide open. Now, last week we saw that generosity is not about your wallet. Generosity is an issue of the heart. And we saw that not only is generosity an issue of the heart, generosity can literally change your heart. We saw that it's the one activity that can bring you priceless joy. It can benefit and bless others. It can meet your greatest need while meeting the needs of others. It can protect you from envy, jealousy, greed, materialism, and self-centered living. When we live life like this, life wide open. But this week, we're going to look at this idea of generosity from a little bit different perspective. We're going to take a little bit different angle from it this week. And ultimately, we're going to be looking at this whole concept of generosity, living life like this, from the perspective of eternity. From the perspective of eternity, because the way we view eternity affects the way we view this life right now. And we're going to look at this issue of generosity from the perspective of eternity. And I'm only going to be sharing with you this morning two main points. Now, if you all believe that, you hadn't been here very long. It's two points, but there's a few subpoints that go under it. But basically, there's two main truths I want us to get this morning about generosity and this whole idea of eternity. And the first point is this I want to share with you this morning. The first point is this, that eternity impacts my life here on earth. Having the perspective of eternity impacts the way I live my life now. Now, let me read you a few verses. Psalm 144 says this. David writes and says, "Man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow." David says, listen, this life here on earth, from the perspective of eternity, is like this. Ready? It's fast. It's brief. When you see your life here, from the perspective of eternity, David says, it's like a breath. It's a passing shadow. Moses adds to that in Psalm 90. Moses says this, "As for the days of our life, they contain 70, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone, and we fly away." Moses says, from the perspective of eternity, this life is like a shadow, and soon it's going to be gone, and we're no more. From the earthly perspective. Peter takes it even a next step in 2 Peter chapter 3, and Peter says this, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat." Now listen to this. "And the earth and all its works and all this stuff and all that we can see will be burned." So the Bible says this life is like a breath. It's like a passing shadow. And all that you can see is going to be burned up. And you say, boy, I am so glad I came to church this morning. Man, I'm just encouraged. Thanks. Peter goes on and says, "Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness?" Peter says, when you see eternity and see our life here in light of eternity, how should that affect your life? And that's what we want to look at this morning. And here's the first point we get out of that, under that, is this. This world is not forever. Y'all see that? Moses said it's like a shadow. David said it's like a breath. This world's not forever. Peter says everything you see is going to burn up one day. This world's not forever. And let me say something to you. If you're a believer and you're a child of God, you know what? That's good news. That this world is not all we have. There is eternity. This world is not all we have. It's all we know right now. But if you know Christ and you have that relationship with Him, this is not all there is. But you know what we do sometimes? We forget that, don't we? And all our focus is right here. And it affects the way we live right here. Now I want to put an illustration on the screen for you. And this is from Randy Alcorn in that book that we've been making available, The Treasure Principle. I want you to picture your life right now as that dot. Life here on earth is that dot. But then I want you to picture coming out from that dot a line. And that line I want you to picture extends forever and ever and ever and ever. It just goes on. And right now, in this life, you know where we're living? The dot. It's just a speck. On the line of eternity, David said it's a breath. But most of our energy and resources and efforts, if we're not real careful, go toward living in the dot. But the Bible says it's a shadow. It's a breath. We're not going to be here for very long. Right now I'm living in the dot, but there is a day I will enter eternity forever and ever and ever. Did you know that by the age of 20, you will have seen over 1 million TV commercials? And you know what most of those TV commercials encourage you to do? Live for the dot. You got to have it. You got to have it now. It will enrich your life. You know what I'd like to see someday? I'd like to see one of those commercials come on about this item that you've just got to have. And then under it, in big red letters, it'd be flashing, "It's all going to burn. It's all going to burn." Because we're living in the dot right now. But that's not all there is. Paul said it another way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said this, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, that you can see with your human eye, are temporary. But the things that are not seen, that we can only see by faith, are eternal." That means everything you can see with your human eye is temporary. It's going to fade away. But see, if we lose sight of that and we forget that, you know what we do? We store up all these things we can see and we live for the dot and everything we have is temporary. Bible says there's eternity. Living for the line is storing up treasures in heaven that last forever. See that? This world is not forever. And if we forget that as the people of God, you know how we live our lives? We don't live our lives like this. We live our lives like this. And we miss the blessing of generosity. But that's not the only thing we see this morning. I want you to listen to these verses. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he says, "Our citizenship is in heaven." Now, Paul was writing to a Roman audience in the city of Philippi. Rome ruled the world at this time. And there was really no higher honor a person could have than to be able to say all over the world, "I am a citizen of Rome." And all the blessings that go along with it. But Paul is writing to the believers in Philippi, and he says this, "I want you to know something. Child of God, because of your relationship with Jesus Christ, you got something better than citizenship in Rome." He says, "You are a citizen of heaven." He says, "From which will also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Rome was proud of their emperor. They called him Lord or Kyrios. Paul says, "I want you to know something. You've got a better kingdom. You've got a better city. And there's a better Kyrios, a better Lord who's returning one day." Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and he says this, "We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from this body, this world, and to be at," where? "Home with the Lord." People ask sometimes, they say, when a Christian dies, what happens? Don't ever forget 2 Corinthians 5:8. It says this, when we're absent from the body, you know where we are? Home. Instantly. Paul said, "And God's blessed me in this life, but if I had to choose, I'd prefer to be absent from this body so I would be home with the Lord." Hebrews 11 says this, speaking of the saints of old, "But as it were, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. First point is this. This world is not forever. Second was this. This world is not our home. Peter says we're like strangers and aliens just passing through. Now, Peter didn't say you got to be strange. That's not what he said. Some Christians take that way too far and think he meant you got to be strange. That's not what he says. He says we're like strangers in this world. We're just passing through. It's a shadow. It's a breath. This world is not forever, and this world is not our home. You say, what in the world does this have to do with generosity? What does this have to do with living life like this? Randy Alcorn again makes a great quote. He says, the greatest obstacle to generosity is the illusion that earth is our home. We live like this world is our home, and this world is all there is. But we are citizens of a heavenly home. We are citizens of eternity. We are citizens of heaven. That's home. We're just passing through. Randy Alcorn goes on, he says this, where we invest our treasures depends largely on where we believe home to be. Wherever you think your home is, that's where you're going to invest most of your time, talent, energy, and efforts. The Bible says home is in eternity. In this world, we're just passing through. Now let me give you an illustration about that. Let's imagine that you, your family, take a trip overseas. And let's say you take a trip for 6 weeks to the country of Russia. And while you're in Russia, you are given a large gift by someone. And you are given 1,000,000 rubles. You know what a ruble is? It's the currency of Russia. Ruble's not real valuable here in the States, but it's the currency of Russia. And while you're there, you're given these 1,000,000 rubles. You're only there for 6 weeks. You're given this currency. What would you do with it? Well, you may take some of it and get you a good place to stay. You may go out to some of the finest restaurants in Russia. You may enjoy some of that currency while you're there. But you know what you're going to do with most of that money? You're going to take that foreign currency and you're going to exchange it for dollars. And you're going to send it back home. Because while in Russia, you know you're only there for a short time, and you know while you're there, you're not home. So you'll take that currency, and you'll exchange it in a currency that you can use later, and you'll send it home, and when you arrive back in the United States, you've got this currency that you can now use for much longer because you're home. See, we're only here on this earth for a brief time. And God blesses us with things here. But we're only here for a brief time. And this is not our home. Generosity is the means by which we send our resources ahead of us to our heavenly home. Where we invest our treasures depends largely on where we believe our home is. There was a missionary who was returning from a 5-year term on the mission field in Africa. And he was returning home on a huge cruise ship. And just so happened to be on that cruise ship was the president, Teddy Roosevelt. And Roosevelt had been on a 1-week safari in the continent of Africa. And he was returning home on the same cruise ship as the missionary. And when the cruise ship pulled into port back home in the United States, there were bands and marching parades and all this fanfare to welcome Teddy Roosevelt home. And the missionary got off the same boat, walked across the same pier, and the only person to welcome him home basically was his family and a few friends. No band, no fanfare. And it was asked this missionary, are you a little bit disappointed by the reception that you received when you got home? That missionary responded and said, not at all. Because I'm not home yet. See, this is not home. We're only here for a short time. we're citizens of heaven. And that reality, that this world is not forever, that this world is not home, keeping that perspective will impact the way we live life here on earth. But the way we live our life here on earth makes an eternal difference. The first point is this: eternity affects the way I live life here on earth. But here's your second point. The way I live life here on earth impacts eternity. Look what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul says this to his young pastor Timothy. He says, "Timothy, instruct them," that's those in his church. Timothy was a pastor. Says, "Timothy, I want you to teach them something. I want you to teach them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed." What does that mean? Paul says, take what you've been given, be ready to share, live life like this, because the way my life is lived on earth impacts eternity. The way you live your life on earth will impact eternity. Now please listen. I want to make a disclaimer here, all right? So if the person next to you has nodded off, elbow them real good, because I want everybody to get this. I did not say the way you live life on earth will determine your eternity. But I said the way you live life on earth will impact eternity. You say, what determines eternity? One thing. Ephesians 2:8-9 says this: "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that anyone should boast." Be very clear. The Bible's very clear. We receive salvation. We receive eternal life. We are welcomed into eternity because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that alone. Your eternity is determined by Jesus and your relationship or lack of relationship with Him. Nothing else. Eternity is not a reward. It is a gift from God. But eternity will be impacted by the way you live on earth. Paul said this: being ready to share with others whatever God has given to them. By doing this, we will be storing up treasures as a good foundation for the future. How we use the resources God has given us now impacts eternity. You say, how can that be? How can generosity and living like this with what God has given me impact eternity? Listen to this statement. Generosity is the one activity that changes what is temporary into something eternal. Generosity is the one activity that you can take the temporary resources that you've been given in this world, and when you give generously and you live generously, somehow, someway, God changes them into something eternal. Listen to what A.W. Tozer says. He says, "As base a thing as money often is, yet it can be transformed into everlasting treasure. Any temporal possession," this is a good statement, "any temporal possession can be turned into everlasting wealth. Whatever is given to Christ, time, talent, treasure, possessions, whatever is given to Christ is immediately touched with immortality." You know what that means? That means whatever in this life we hold like this, we leave it behind. But whatever in life we hold like this, we send it on ahead. That's why Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." See, generosity is the wisest investment of what you have, because you're giving what you cannot keep to gain in eternity what you'll never lose: treasures in heaven. Now you say, Mike, I think I see all that. And I kind of get the idea of what you're saying. But what is this treasure in heaven? I mean, heaven's going to be a great place, right? Jesus is going to be there. Our loved ones in you, Christ, are going to be there. No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. All that's true of heaven. So what do you mean by treasure in heaven? Man, I thought heaven was full of treasure. And it is. But Paul says the way you use your possessions on earth will store up treasure for you in heaven. Well, let me be real honest with you. I don't know exactly what all that means about treasure in heaven. So you can close your Bibles. We're done this morning. Thanks for being here. No. I don't know all of what that means about treasure in heaven, but I want to share with you this morning as we close two aspects of it that I know it means, because it's right out of the Word of God. What does this idea of laying up treasure in heaven really mean? I mean, is it the first bank of heaven, and when we get there, we're going to take out a deposit? No, I don't think that's what it means. There's two passages of Scripture, I think, illumine us what this means this morning. Let me share the first truth with you this morning. What does this idea of treasure in heaven mean? Well, first, I think it means this: that we, based on living a life like this, based on living a life of generosity, we will be received in heaven by those we have helped. I want you to listen to this verse. Jesus says in Luke chapter 16, He says, "And I say, make friends for yourselves by the means of the wealth of unrighteousness." What does that mean? The wealth of unrighteousness is referring to your temporal resources, that which is going to pass away, specifically money that you can't keep. It's called the mammon of unrighteousness, or the wealth of unrighteousness. Jesus says, use that. Use what you've been given to make friends, so that, here's the result, when it fails, and it will, when this world passes away and the currency of this world is not worth anything anymore, when it fails, they, who's the they? The friends you made, the life you impacted by your currency, when it fails, they will receive you into eternal dwellings. Did y'all hear that? Sherry, are you telling me that we can take this treasure that God's given us on earth, our time, our talent, our treasure, and we can invest it into the lives of other people, and God will take that and He will so change their lives that when we enter eternity, there will be people there that welcome us home and say, "Thank you. Thank you for giving. Thank you for serving. My life is different because you took what was temporal and you gave it and it became eternal, and I am here because of that." Is that what that means? I think that's exactly what that means. That eternity will be different because of how you use the resources God has given you. Let me give you a few examples. Like many of you, we support a little boy in Zambia through World Vision. And that little boy's name is Isha. And every month we give $30. Meager. That's a meal. And that money goes, and he's given resources, and he's given food, and somebody gives him a Bible, and somebody introduces him to Christ. And I don't know how God's going to use that, but here's how God may use that. That when I enter eternity, because I had a relationship with Christ for no other reason, but I will enter eternity, and there's going to be a young man there that I've never met, and his name is Isha, and he's going to say, "Mike, you've never met me, but thank you, I'm here because you used the temporal and invested it, and God changed my life." When you give to Hope Baptist Church. You're not giving to a church. You're giving through a church. And that temporal resources of money, it goes into the offering basket, and then God takes it, and it literally goes all over the world. And there are men in the country of Laos who are being trained in how to start churches. And 20,000 people, lives are being changed in the country of Laos. And there's going to be a day when you die and you go to heaven because you knew Christ. And you're going to enter heaven and you're going to be greeted by a Laotian pastor. And he's going to say, "You don't know me and you've never met me, but I just want to say thank you for your investment." And you're going to have treasure in heaven. And there's going to be men and women from Egypt. And there's going to be men and women from the continent of Africa. And there's going to be men and women from Thailand. Because you gave and you invested. And you took what was temporal and you invested in the eternal. And God changed somebody's life. That's generosity. Living life like this. I think that's one aspect of our treasure in heaven. I don't think that's the only aspect. I think we will be received by those that we have helped, but that's not all. I also believe, based on what the Scripture says, that we will be rewarded. We as the people of God will be rewarded in heaven by Christ Himself. Now listen, heaven is not a reward. It's a gift. But there are rewards in heaven. Jesus says in Revelation 22, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done." That's not speaking to non-believers. That's speaking to the people of God that know Christ. He says, "I'm coming. There's going to be a day, and my reward is with me." Now, when I read that, I got two questions. Number one is this. Are we all rewarded the same? Well, by having a relationship with Christ, we all have heaven. We all have eternity. We all have eternal life. But we're not all rewarded the same. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 8 says this, "Each one will receive his own reward according to his labor, according to how you've used the treasure that God has given you in this life." So we're not all rewarded the same. I got another question. What will determine our rewards? I mean, that's a pretty fair question, right? What's going to determine our rewards? I'm going to read to you one last passage of Scripture to answer this question and we'll be done. And if you want to follow along with me in Matthew chapter 25, you can. I'm going to read a few verses, make a brief comment, and we're going to be done because I know my time is over. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14, Jesus teaches a parable and he says this. Jesus says, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey. It is the kingdom of heaven and the economy of the kingdom of heaven." Here's how the economy of the kingdom works. He says, "It's just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them." He says, it's a rich landowner. He's going on a journey and he entrusts his possessions to his slaves. "To one, he gives 5 talents. To another, 2. And to another, 1. Are all his slaves entrusted equally? No. Are they all given the same amount of resources? No. Who makes the decision? The one who owns it all. Immediately, the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. The same manner, the one who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money." You know why he did that? One of the reasons I think he did that is because he thought his one little talent wouldn't accomplish much. But that's not true. "Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves returned and settled accounts with them." Remember the verse earlier, Jesus said, "I'm returning and my reward is with me." There's going to be a day he's going to settle the accounts. Not talking about your salvation, not talking about sin. That's paid for by Christ. But how you used, how you invested, how you handled the resources God gave you. "The one who had received the 5 talents, the master came and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5. See, I've gained 5 more. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. His eternity was not determined by what he did, but his eternity was impacted by what he did. The next one came who had two. He'd received the two. He brought two more. His master said, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will entrust you to many more. Enter into the joy of your master." You say, what's going to be the determination of these rewards in heaven? According to this parable, according to other verses in Scripture, there are rewards for the people of God in heaven based on how you managed and handled the resources of this world. It's all His. But the things that are temporary in this world can be taken and invested into the lives of others, into the activity of God, and that which is temporal will be transferred into what is eternal. That is why eternity impacts our life on earth, but our life on earth impacts eternity. How? When we as a people don't live our lives like this, but we live our lives wide open.